This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's the 15th of November, 2017. My name's Patrick Smith. What a difference a week makes back down the earth. The Belfast Giants, 5 goals against, no goals scored, 0 point weekend after what was more or less 3 weekends on the trot of maximum points. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll be joined later on for the fan agenda by Jim Van Der Meer. We'll also hear from Adam Keefe and one of the commentators from the Manchester Storm TV, Stephen Packer, who'll be on to talk about the Storm arriving this weekend. We'll look at this week's games and all the other stuff. There's a lot of announcements, stops and the likes and the Challenge Cup, and we'll cover all of that. Davey and Sizz are joining us. How are you, boys?
All good, Paddy.
Very well, thank you.
And we're going to start with this.
Dops.
We talked about it last week, but we can't get into the weekend's games without starting off with the fact that Jim Van Der Meer was assessed a 2-game suspension for the incident that took place against the Dundee Stars. Simon, I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, when we chatted about it last week, and you know, I said that whatever were going to come up from Dobbs, you know, you take it in the chin and moved on. But when I come in for 2-game suspension, I'm sitting looking at it going, really? But do you know what? It's done and dusted. It didn't help us at the weekend, which we'll go on to talk about. It's one of those things that, you know, they obviously are taking into consideration the guy left the game and never returned. So it's disappointing, but again, you've got to give a clean slate the new Dobbs policy and guys that are coming in. So 2-game suspension, took it in the chin, and didn't turn out the way we wanted it the weekend.
That's it, Davey. Given the amount of detail we have now, it's not a case that we're turning around and challenging it. We see the reasons behind it, and we do take it on the chin.
Yeah, I think we have said a few times since this. What are we going to call it? They're Dops, but like the new Dops,
Super Dops.
You know, Super Dops. You know, we've said that they're so detailed in their, you know, in their what they're putting out there in their press releases that it's actually quite hard to argue. There is contact with the head, be it incidental or not. You know, the onus is on the D-man to make sure that contact isn't made with the head. The player himself has a responsibility to not put himself in a vulnerable position, which he has done as well. There's an element of that. You know, he drops a shoulder, goes one way, gets his bell rung, you know. But it's one of those, we said last week, it could go either way. He could get away with nothing. He could come up with a suspension, serve the suspension. We've played the games. We'll have to move on and accept that. You know, Dobbs have made the call on it. They've looked at the evidence, and that's what they believe is the right call. So, you know, you have to take that in the chin.
Absolutely. Well, the Belfast Giants went into the weekend without Jim Van Der Meer, and you have to say that it really showed. Let's start off by looking at that game against the Cardiff Devils. Back at the SSE for the first time in many weeks, in Elite League and Conference competition. It was a 3-0 shutout defeat for the Belfast Giants. Scoring was opened by Justin Farina in the first period, 7 minutes and 49 seconds into the game. There was no scoring in the second period, but in the third period, Gleeson Fournier scored short-handed while Tyson Strachan was in the box. And then Joey Martin with an empty netter to seal what was a very disappointing and thumping win for the Cardiff Devils. With regards to goalkeepers, it was Jackson Whistle in net. He got the loss. 45 shots, 43 saves. The other side, Ben Bounds, faced 36 shots, made those 36 saves. And your referee was Dean Smith. Davey, we've waxed lyrical over the last 3 weeks about the Belfast Giants and how well they've been doing, and you know, up against Gardiner Conference opposition. The last time we faced Erhard Conference opposition was the Sheffield Steelers in Sheffield, and that put us in a buoyant mood with regards to how this team can perform. Short-handed, yes, and with their difficulties, but coming at home, I don't think anybody thought that we'd be shut out 3-0.
No, this is one of the first times, I guess, that we have struggled a bit 5-on-5. You know, said in previous games, especially away in Cardiff, you know, 5-on-5 were a much better team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cardiff have came in here and had the guts of 50 shots on Jackson Whistle, which is a concern. But, you know, that comes again, you've already put it out there, you know, we're a bit light still on the back end, missing Vandermeer, missing Rain, missing Goulakos. Cole Jarrett's having to play a lot more ice time than he's probably expecting. You have Jeff Mason, who's came out of retirement. You have Brandon Benedict, who's essentially a forward playing on the back end. You know, so there's reasons rather than, you know, excuses we don't like. I feel like I'm saying it every week that we're a no-excuse organisation and don't want to be coming up. But these are factors in it. I think they came with a very good plan, executed it very well. Sizzle maybe go on to it later. You know, the passing wasn't great, exacerbated slightly by what wasn't fantastic looking ice, certainly on the TV screen. Sizzle was obviously there in person to be able to say a little bit more about it. But it was just one of those performances that lacked a bit of continuity. You know, we just didn't really get going. We got a lot of shots on bounds that hit him bang in the devil's badge, right in the middle of his chest. You know, we didn't really test him. I can't remember Ben Bounds having to really flash the glove or make a big kick save, you know, get the pads stacked any time during the game. He did anything he had to do. This is not disparaging towards a goalkeeper, goaltender. You know, the pucks were hitting him. Now that's getting into good position, of course, but, you know, we didn't extend him as much as was required. We didn't move him left or right very often. You know, we were getting in down the wings, cutting in and just getting shots into the belly. And, you know, disappointing performance. Could do better.
Says it's been quite a few weeks before any Belfast Giants fans be able to see their team at home if they haven't been following them on the road. So obviously the expectation was high given those six consecutive wins, but the Giants just couldn't find the net.
Now, Paddy, again, Davey's just touched on it. There was a disappointing night, you know. Take nothing away from Cardiff here. They played the perfect road game. You know, they came in, they took their chances when they came along. They get out to a really great start. I mean, I think probably for the first 12 or 13 minutes, we were more or less penned on our own end. You know, we obviously got the odd rush up ice, but anytime we went forward, we really didn't look like scoring. You know, there's Ben Bounds takes up a serious amount of that net. He's a big, big boy, yeah. And you know, covers his net very well, but When you're putting the puck straight into his chest, that's not going to go in the net. He covered up well. His defense in front of him played very, very well. They kept it the outside. It was just one of those games where, you know, I was joined by John Pell on comms on Saturday night for the whole game, and he was brilliant. I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
But you know, he was saying at the end of the first period that, you know, we're not making Bounds work. Every save he's got in the first period, you know, he made very, very comfortably. I think it was seven saves he made in the first period. Seven shots, seven saves. And then second, we had about 18 shots, I think it was, and made him work a bit harder. But again, I can't actually remember a proper quality scoring chance the whole game. I really can't. And, you know, again, their first goal came out of a mistake, you know, so, well, you could say it was a bobbling puck for Benny. He reads the play 100%. You know, he goes to basically intercept the pass, but unfortunately it just bobbles over his stick, and take nothing away from Ferreira. He took his goal very, very well and, you know, went forehand, backhand, lifted over the top of Jackson Whistle, who, in my opinion, probably played the best game that he's played for us all season. He gave us a chance to win. He only conceded two goals. Obviously, the internetter, as Davey says, isn't really a goal. But you know, we only conceded the two goals, played very, very well. But unfortunately, we couldn't put the puck in the net the other end. And you know, it was one of those games for me on Giants TV that I actually couldn't wait to be over. I was really looking forward to it starting. I was looking forward to it all week. But we're back at the SSE and we're back on Giants TV. But halfway through the second period, I couldn't wait for the bloody thing to end.
You know, says you talked about it, and I was saying in my little piece there about the, you know, having Benny on day, having different day combinations that aren't set up, aren't what Adam Keefe would want. You know, when he was recruiting his team, these aren't the D pairings he would want. And, you know, that first goal, and this isn't digging Benny out by any means, he reads that play, but that's probably a forward reading the play much more than a D man. You know, a D man might be a little more circumspect and just stay in his own end and collect the puck there. he's done by a really bobble on some horrible ice, and they get in and score. The second one, Gleeson Fournier gets a matchup against it. I can't remember who the D-man is. Gets
Cole Jarrett.
Comes with Cole Jarrett, just absolutely blows him away for speed. Blows him away for speed. Plays the give and go with, I think it was Matty Myers. And, you know, you're 2-0 down, and that was the game over. You know, we weren't opportunistic. We had opportunities. We couldn't tuck them away. It was one of those, you know, you don't want to talk about gripping the stick too tight and all. Just at this stage of the season, you know, guys aren't under that much stress and pressure yet. No. But, you know, we didn't take opportunities when we couldn't get inside. Cardiff Devils are a heck of a hockey team. Let's take nothing away from them. But, you know, we know we've got the beating of them 5-on-5. It was disappointing that, you know, it was almost, and the effort that we had to put in a 3-0 defeat, you know, transitioned into the following night, we were absolutely exhausted. And, you know, we can't complain about lack of effort, but there was certainly lack of opportunism, if you like, when chances came along and we got to look at the whites of, you know, Ben Byrne's eyes, we didn't put him under enough pressure.
And I think that's the thing. It's like we obviously had a personnel problems on the D, Davey. You know, we've talked about the fact that Vandermeer, Rayner and the likes have all been missing, the fact that we've had to put together what is a makeshift D to an extent. But why is it that we were lacking the opportunities forwards wise? We haven't been lacking the last couple of weeks. We've scored, you know, multiple goals. We've racked up some goals over the last couple of weeks. Why was it? I don't want to filter in to Sunday's game too much, but no goals over the course of a weekend.
I thought we lacked urgency. I thought we looked tired on Saturday as well as Sunday. You know, I didn't. You know, we talked about last week about the chemistry, and you know, Davey's mentioned it all the time. Every podcast we do, you know, don't get too high in the high and don't get too low in the lows. And, you know, leading into the Sunday game, you know, again, going that journey, I've done it on many, many occasions. You know, going, getting up early, getting the ferry across, getting a coach trip for 3.5 to 4 hours, and going straight into the rink, straight to play. And that's exactly what happened on Sunday. Against Dundee, but I thought that the match on Sunday was, obviously we beat them 5-2 the week before, and we didn't need to get out of second gear. And I thought that the guys looked like they thought the same thing. We're not going to have to get out of second gear here. And that was the game on Sunday. For me, it was the worst performance of the season. I don't think there was any urgency whatsoever. We had a 3-on-1 on one stage, but didn't get a shot on target. There was just guys there. You know, I had a chance to interview Kiefer this morning, and he pointed out that he thinks there's guys need to have a good look at themselves in the mirror. I'm not disagreeing with him. He's the coach. He sees these guys in training every single day. But going to Dundee, you expect to challenge. You expect to perform. You expect to have guys standing up and being counted. And obviously with the result and no goals, you know, for the weekend, you know, that's the most disappointing part. We've got guys there who can put the puck in the net with their eyes closed. But unfortunately, this weekend was one of those weekends that you just want to completely erase from your memory and get stuck into Wednesday night against Nottingham.
Let's bring it back to Saturday, Davey, and a bit of a flashpoint in the game is an incident between Joey Martin and Brenton Connolly. Nothing called on the play, sort of waved off and play on, but it looked pretty naughty.
It's one of those, Paddy, that a four-man system gets. This isn't a criticism, perhaps it sounds like it, of Dean Smith. Connolly has the shot and Dean Smith follows the puck because the puck's going towards the net. It's a natural reaction. He turns his head and the distance that Joey Martin then travels to make what is a bad hit to the head. Well, I have to ask Steve Thornton and Belfast Giants TV if they're okay for us to put that footage out there on the Twitter. It's a elbow to the head of, or the side of Connolly's head. He's in a vulnerable position. He's tracking the puck as well. You know, he's had a shot. Martin comes through and finishes on him, I think, a little unnecessarily, but, you know, it's one of those, you know, if he doesn't make the hit, you'd maybe say, why didn't he make the hit? But anyway, he finishes on him, he goes, lifts the elbow just at the last minute and makes contact with the side of Connolly's head, puts him down across the ice. The interesting thing for me was the face-off coming outside the offensive zone, because Connolly had, you know, been hurt. It's a crazy situation, but for me, I'm incredibly surprised that we didn't ask Dobbs to have another look at that. I don't know what Sizz's thoughts on that would be.
I'm wholeheartedly behind you, mate. Again, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I've no idea why the guys didn't put it in. But as a player, and if you're not getting a support from your management team, or, you know, well, put it, you know what? The management team could have had a chat with Cons and said, look, is it worthwhile putting this in? What do you think? Are you injured? Are you going to miss any game time? That could have taken into consideration as well. You know, Cons yeah. didn't miss a shift. We talked about Harding, you know, the week before missing, that was him done for the game. I don't even know if he played the weekend there. I don't think he did play on Sunday, did he?
Don't think so.
No, I don't think he did. So, you know, he's missed a couple of games. Jimbo got 2-game suspension. You know, but from a player's perspective, you know, you want the support. You want to let that your management team is actually giving you the backing, because you don't want to be going about and the possibility of getting, you know, elbow in the head, and then all of a sudden that your management team aren't supporting you in that case. But it's I was really surprised that we didn't put that in, Dave. I've seen the clip, and you did a great job, and Neil and Dave from Giants TV did a great job, you know, slowing it right down. I said right at the very time I thought it was an elbow to the head. When I seen it back at normal speed, I'm sitting going, maybe it's not. But with the technology that you guys have and zooming in on it and everything, for me, it's an elbow. The main point of contact was the head. And the biggest point of it for me, and I know you said the referee was looking the other way, there's another two sets of eyes on the ice. There's two linesmen out there communicating, should have been done. For me, that is a suspension.
This is one of the things about Dobbs that kind of gets on my nerves too. Like Jim has got his suspension for, I think in his own words, you know, he said it was a hockey play. He didn't actually mean to make contact with Harding's head. He takes his medicine. He takes his 2 weeks, his 2 match suspension. Okay, Devils play, I think it's Fife and Stars next. So, you know, losing one import maybe mightn't hurt them all that much across those two games. But effectively, Joey Martin's, in my opinion, it's a worse hit, and nothing's happening to him. There should be some way of the league being able to retrospectively look at stuff without the clubs having to put £250 up for player safety.
Do you know the thing the week before last or 2 weeks ago where the guy from the Clan stuck that video footage out of I don't know where he got it from, but he stuck that out there. And the Clan actually ended up suspending him from the arena. But, you know, because that game was on live, and we talked about this last week as well, Davey, about about referees and officials having to watch the game that they've refereed that weekend. I mean, they get good money for these refereeing duties and for the linesman duty, in my opinion, they get good money. But, you know, maybe they should be made to watch the games and go, right, you know what, I missed that.
I agree.
You know, Dean Smith should have the balls to stand up and say, you know what, I'm holding my hands up here.
Well, that's something we're going to come back to, because there has been an announcement from the Elite League today with regards to Dobbs and officiating. What I will do is I'm going to move things on. Gentlemen, the highlights of that game available, Belfast Giants TV with Simon Kitchen and John Pell. Listen, I for the whole season call him John Pelle. John Pell, is that what it was?
I asked him and he says it's Pell.
There you go. A full season, I call them John Pelle. Anyway, on to Sunday's game. Back to Dundee Ice Arena. This time, a much different game. As we've already alluded to, the Belfast Giants went in there and were defeated 2-0. No goals in the first period. Into the second period, in 4 minutes and 55 seconds, Johan Andersson scored off a Riley Staddle assist. Into the third period, Brian Hart, who scored in the last game, these two played last week, scored in this one as well. And that rounded off the scoring 2-0. Not many penalties in this game, actually. I think there was only two minors and a misconduct for Connolly, but we'll come back to that. Goalkeepers, Travis Fullerton gets the win, 60 minutes played, 28 shots, 28 saves. The other end, Chris Trull gets his debut for the Belfast Giants. He faced 22 shots, made 20 saves, and your referee was Neil Wilson. Davey, Sizz has already alluded to it, and the fact in his determination, it was the worst performance of the Belfast Giants this season.
I think you can. I'm not saying that's not the case, but I think because it's fresh in the memory, it perhaps is. If I went back through the, there's a couple of early season performances that were pretty stinky too. But you know, bit of credit to Omar Pasha. Whenever we played Dundee, that's only a week or two ago. There, we dominated using the stretch pass. You know, we came out of our defensive zone, long stretch passes into their defensive zone with speed. Got a lot of stuff on Fullerton that way, and they closed that down completely. Bit of a full court press on our stop our control breakout and stop that stretch pass. But although we did spend a lot of time in the offensive zone, I don't know what the shots were off the top of my head. Do you know what were the shots? Did you say there?
The shots were, sorry, was it? It was 28 for the Giants, 22 for the Stars.
Yes, we kind of shot them at home, and disappointing again that we couldn't come up with, you know, just that one greasy goal to get past Fulton. I think if we spoke last week, I don't like doing game previews, but we said how do we beat the Dundee Stars, and one of the ways was you have to get early pressure on Fullerton. You get one behind him, he sometimes has a tendency to concede in bunches, but you know, that didn't happen. It's hard to know whether their first goal gets a little tip off Martinelli's stick. If it does, it's not a great play by Martinelli to throw a stick in there so soft. You know, you either go and block it or you get it out of the way, and flies over Trill's shoulder, and that gives them the lead. You're always a bit of playing catch up there. But it had been a good first period from us. We controlled the puck pretty well. We looked tired from the off, and we hadn't really, you know, bust legs, as Sis was saying there. You know, we didn't look like a team with full of energy, but neither did the Stars, because they were playing short bench. You know, what were they? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12.
They 16 players.
16 players. You know, it's not ideal for the top league in this country to have two teams that are struggling to put lineups out on a weekend. But, you know, teams looked tired, didn't get those chances on the power play either. You know, very little called by the referee, and just one of those nights. That second goal then, bit like the other goal from the Cardiff night, you know, comes through with speed, and unfortunately he gets one on none with Truel and gets right into the blue paint with nobody challenging him, and tucks the second goal away. And from then, you know, you're looking at when we're going to pull the goalie, and we pull the goalie, and they come up with a couple of opportunities. We just didn't really. It's all scramble plays towards the end. You know, we could have came up with a goal. Things could have been different, but unfortunately they weren't. It's one of these ones. I remember a couple of seasons ago losing a game in Edinburgh, and you saying on the podcast, Paddy, you know, it's one of those ones you have to throw the puck in the bin. You have to get back to work on Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday, whenever the coach gets you back on the ice, and you have to start working very, very hard, knowing that you've got Nottingham Panthers next.
Says your take on Chris Truel in his debut?
I thought he did okay, Paddy, to be honest. I mean, the second goal, you don't. Debbie and I have had a few. I mean, we talk about this all the bloody time. But the second goal, from the camera footage, it looks as if he should have had it. But I do think it took a deflection off Martinelli's stick. And you know, even if it only takes a, you know, a flick off it, and it goes on, you know, different trajectory under the net and stuff as well. But you don't see it hitting coming off the stick when where the camera work is. I thought he did okay. I don't think he set the world alight. I don't think he had an awful lot to do. He made one or two really good saves. You know, it's over the weekend, we got good goaltending. They both give him a chance.
I like him, Simon. I think he's got a few timing issues. It's just a bit of ring rust. You know, it's been a couple of weeks off the ice, and really practice isn't game situation. You know, no matter how much you scrimmage and you shimmy and you know, in the SSE or the ice bowl during the week, it's not the same as when it's game time. And I think the more games he gets under his belt, fitness under his belt, he's good size. And he, a bit like Ben Bounds, takes up an awful lot of the net. Like to see him skating a wee bit more, you know, coming out and claiming that puck in behind the net and stuff. But that's all going to come. I just think there's a few time, a bit of ring rust, and he's going to be okay.
I think one of the things there, Davey, you just touched on with regards to, you know, getting a bit ring rusty. He's for me, again, you know, he's playing on a bigger rink as well. He needs to get used to that. You know, that all those angles and stuff like that, when you look at where he's coming out and where he's standing in the net, you could see him, and you know, he was backing up an awful lot in his net. He was standing on his goal line an awful lot. And listen, again, just before you touched on a few things there, both goaltenders give us a chance to win that the weekend.
Yeah.
Both of them. They both played very well. You know, they kept the puck out of the net. They tried to, give us the opportunities to go forward and score. and we couldn't put the puck in the net. We didn't lose the game at that, just by conceding two goals that night. Well, technically we did, but you know what I mean. You know, because we didn't have any offense on Sunday night was the real disappointing part.
10 minutes left in the game, Brenton Connolly takes an abusive official 10-minute misconduct for Neil Wilson. He was frustrated, obviously, Davey.
Yeah, and I'm disappointed in Collins for that, because, you know, one of our best players this season, yep, one of our go-to guys, with 10 minutes to go in the game, you've just gone 2-0 down. We need to try and, you know, push back. You're sitting on your backside for all but 30 seconds of the rest of the game. It's one of those. It's not good enough. He knows himself. He doesn't need some kid sitting in his bedroom telling him that, you know, it's not good enough. So, you know, we've had too many abusive official calls already this season. The guys just have to learn. You can't say anything to these guys. They're so thin-skinned at the minute. And that's not justifying. He's obviously said something, because Wilson was fairly quick to throw him out. So, lesson has to be learned.
Well, the other thing about Neil Wilson, he came out of retirement 2 weeks ago. He refereed in Dundee last week. He's the worst referee in the world, in my opinion. he genuinely is. Like, if you watch him, where he was, his position at the weekend was brutal. You know, I watched the whole game on Stars TV. He shouldn't be refereeing to this level anymore. He's done. But we don't have anybody else.
And well, this brings up, I know Paddy's going to bring it up. Do you want to talk about it now, Paddy, or do you want
to... No, we'll come back to it, because I want to cover this part of the whole thing. What I'll do, well, is wrap up this part here, guys, because we know, and I've got another topic on this sort of weekend that I want to cover, the highlights from this game, Dundee Stars Live TV, and you can get that on YouTube and the likes. Yep, we got a question in soon after the game from our good friend Chris Revel, who asked the question: when was the last time, if ever, the Belfast Giants have been shut out in back-to-back games? That gives us an opportunity to introduce a new slot in the show.
I'm a stat man.
I'm the stat man.
Yes, it would be amiss of us not to make use of the Belfast Giants stat man, Mr. David Mitch MC. Davey, can you answer Chris Revel's question?
I can, Paddy. I don't have it written down, so I'm going to have to try and concentrate to remember it. The 30th of November 2002 and the 1st of December 2002, we were shut out back-to-back nights by Sheffield and Nottingham. Now, that's a long time ago now, you know, 15 years all told. But we have also, on the positive side, we have also done it twice, the other teams. We've had back-to-back shutouts twice. 25th of February 2012, 26th of February 2012, and the 31st of March 2012, and the 1st of April 2012. Stingrays and Blaze, 8-0 and 5-0 back-to-back nights. And the Dundee Stars in the playoffs, 5-0 and 9-0.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, bit of revenge for the Dundee Stars there. We've done it twice. We've had it Dundee twice. So that's the yin and yang of the universe.
Anyway, does that mean that we actually had just those dates you gave out there, all 2012?
Yep.
Is that four shutouts in a row?
Oh, no. 26th of February, and then the 31st of March is the next one.
Sorry.
But four shutouts in fairly quick succession from the 25th of February to the 1st of April. We had four shutouts, two back-to-back nights.
I'm trying to... everything's going a bit of a blur at the minute. Was that our championship year? That wasn't 2012?
No.
No, it was the year before. 2012-13 was our championship year. That's a hell of a stat, and we're going to come back to stats man. Maybe next week we'll get a brand new stat for you. But on that, Lagarsta says, it being a double shutout, the Giants having those problems in defence, and how do you recover from this weekend going into what is a tough game against the Nottingham Panthers on Wednesday night?
You work hard. You get back to work this morning. I know the guys were on the ice this morning. They all seemed to come out with a bit of jump and coming out of the practice facility at Dundonald this morning. And you know, back to work tomorrow night. And the big thing about Paddy for me is that, you know, you don't have to wait until the weekend. You can get this out of your system against Nottingham. They've already beat us twice this year. One game we were right into it. The other game they sort of outplayed us. But we've got Jim Vandermeer coming back, potentially another defenseman as well should be available. And you don't have to wait that long. Wednesday night, let's get to work and get stuck in Leafs Bears.
Davey, we'll hear from Jim Vandermeer later in the show with regards to the fan agenda, but how big a miss was he in that sort of offense from the defense?
Massively, just as a settling influence on the ice as well. You know, Vandermeer, you know exactly what he brings. A lot of experience, a lot of calmness, a lot of positional sense, telling other people where they also need to be on the ice. And, you know, he's eating up a lot of ice time that somebody else is having. You know, don't underestimate, we miss Mark Garside. We never spoke about that at all. You know, we miss Mark Garside on Sunday night as well. Another D-man dying, you know, so we're playing. Jonathan Ferland was playing on defence with in a partnership with Jeff Mason and Brandon Benedict. Now, with the greatest respect to all three guys, if you'd have sat them down at the start of the season in mid-August and said, come November, you're going to be a D partnership, John Ferland, Brandon Benedict, that looked at you and said, aye, all right, mate. You know, so this is where we're at. We have to play hockey with the personnel that we've got available to us. We just have to hope that, you know, bodies get back sooner rather than later.
On that, well, let's move ahead. Sees had the chance earlier on to chat with Adam Keefe.
Adam, after 3-4-point weekends, you've ended up with nothing this weekend. No goals, lack of offense, and it was a tough weekend.
Yeah, I think that is part of the reason why. You know, I know there's highs and lows, and obviously maybe we were a little too high on ourselves after 6 points or six wins in a row. I mean, but you shouldn't be. I mean, you have to reset and refocus every week on the next game, basically, and that's the way this league works. It's long. It's a long season. It's stressful, but you gotta show up and you gotta compete every night. And if things are not going your way offensively, you gotta get dirty and find ways to do it. And we didn't do that, and as a result, we come out with no points, no goals.
The Cardiff game on Saturday night, a little bit unlucky with Brandon Benedict, the puck bouncing over his stick, and good finish by Farina, in fairness. But, I mean, Cardiff literally, in my opinion, he stopped us playing on Saturday evening.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I thought the guys were trying in Cardiff, and I thought if you do look at the goals, you're right. One unfortunate, Benny actually read the play great, was going to pick off that pass. Just hits off his heel and goes through, and they get a breakaway goal as a result of that one. Second one late in the game, result of a guy stepping up and throwing a puck away in the zone, and then a guy steps up to create a 3-on-2 and shorthanded, and then it's 2-0, and now we're really fighting to get back into the game. I thought you look at those games, both of them defensively, we didn't give up a whole lot. I know both goalies played great for us this weekend. We need to find that second gear, that edge, that grit level that it takes to gut out an ugly goal to get us going again. We didn't have it. Maybe preparation. I'll hold my hands up. We weren't for how big a weekend it was, and obviously the loss of Jim Vandermeer last weekend really affected us. And that's just irreplaceable kind of thing. And we didn't perform on the weekend. Simple as that. There's no excuses. We've created ourselves a hole right now. We got to start digging out of it tomorrow. It starts tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow evening, Nottingham Panthers come into town. Two games already this season, both at the NIC, both resulting in losses. One was, tight because I think it was 5-4, 6-4 ended up. You must be looking forward to just, eradicating what happened the weekend and getting back to work.
Yeah, exactly. We know we can compete with Nottingham. And like I said, we did so with a real short bench in Nottingham. I thought we deserved points out of that game. The next game in Nottingham, I thought they were the better team, and they took it to us. We were kind of flat that night as well. The guys understand. Two losses in a row, one being at home. in the big game against Cardiff, and then one against a real short bench Dundee. Unacceptable. It starts with me. Preparation, I got to be better. And the players got to look themselves in the mirror and really think about if they gave their best effort. And we need everybody going tomorrow, not just a couple guys.
Thanks to Kiefer. Right, around the league, we've already got the Dops jingle, but one thing we want to just crack into straight away is an announcement that was made today by the Elite League with regards to Dops and officiating. I'll paraphrase my way through the statement. The Elite League Board of Directors met to discuss Dops and officiating, and they've agreed to outsource all player safety matters to the existing Super Dops, the PSC, and linesman Lyle Seitz. Lyle said they'll also oversee the development of Elite League officials over the next season, including video analysis and feedback of current officiating. The board also unanimously agreed to introduce the 4-man officiating system for all Elite League, Challenge Cup, and playoff games from January 2018. They see the need to continue to develop, educate, and improve officials. And the 4-man system is seen as a major step forward in that regard. The plan is for the league to use senior officials working in tandem with officials who are new to the league and ensure the transition of the UK's top flight is smoother than the 3-man system has previously allowed for. This is part of a long-term plan to improve officiating standards within the UK and to grow the number of officials available. The Elite League board are going to meet with Joy Johnson. People might know her as Joy Topman, one of the linesmen of yesteryear. She's the referee in chief and director of officiating education program for Ice Hockey UK, and they're going to discuss these plans late in November. Furthermore, the board has agreed to increase the scope of which penalties will be automatically reviewed by the Department of Player Safety with immediate effect, as well as continuing the automatically reviews of 2+10 and 5+ game penalties for checking to the head, and all 2+10 and 5+ game penalties for checking from behind, and all match penalties. Dops will now also automatically review all 5-minute major penalties and any body contact penalties which result in an injury. There's a lot to unpack there, gentlemen. I'm going to start with the 4-man system and the implementation of the 4-man system come January, come the new year. David, that is something we've been crying out for years.
Well, yeah, from the last time they had a 4-man system running not that long ago, they run it in the playoffs, you know, at the final 4 weekend. So it's a numbers game. They've now realised they've got to invest, and they've also realised that they've got to get more officials, and you know they've put not a line in the sand so much, because I say it's perhaps a little flexible on the date, but they'll be aiming for the start of January. It's only a positive thing. I think next week we're going to have a couple of officials on that'll be, you know, talking about that, and we'll obviously put TFAs out if people have questions that they want us to put to them. But you know, we know that from some of the officials that we'll talk to that they're one of their major issues was that they wanted the 4-man system. They go away to these other leagues, the referee, in the 4-man system, and they just can't understand why when they come back, they've got to go back to an antiquated system that doesn't work for the speed and the power of the athletes that are playing the game now.
Simon?
I actually think the Elite League need commended in this. You know, you've heard a lot of, we've been talking about it, all our podcasts have been talking about it, although, you know, we're the only ones everybody should be listening to. But I think they need a pat on the back and said a well done, because, you know, this is the 4-man system is essential. You know, I think we're the only top, I mean, we are a very upcoming elite league program and hockey league within Europe, and it's the only league that there's only 3-man system, and it puts an awful lot of pressure on that one referee in the middle. And look, we've seen it, guys are missing things. Player safety is the most important aspect of any hockey game. You know, they want to make sure that these guys, you know, don't pick up injuries. We've already had one retirement from a 24-year-old hockey player this year because of an injury, and you don't want that. You want these guys playing until they want to retire, not because of an injury or a concussion or a recurring injury. These guys want to basically retire when they think that the time to hang the skates up. Because they're all too old or whatever it may be, or better opportunities for jobs. But I think the Elite League, again, you know, we've given a, a very tough time when we get the opportunity to. But on this occasion, I think they need a pat in the back.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think this is a real positive, but and I'm going to say that, but with my devil's advocate hat on. Fans always want a target to blame. They always want to find a reason outside of maybe blaming their own team or blaming their goalie or blaming this. The referee comes in for a lot of stick, not just from the people, the ones in the fans in the stand, but also from the lads on the ice. What we have now is going to be a senior official and a junior official referee in this game. When it comes to calling games and it comes to controversial events within the game, Davey, the fans need to take a beat, because I feel that the junior official is going to come in for a lot of stick.
Yeah, we've got to realise that we're not going to have Michael Hicks and Tom Darnell as a four-man system, you know, in every game. We're going to have to train. It's going to be a process where things will not suddenly become the perfect scenario straight away, but these guys will hopefully get, you know, the ice time and the experience that, you know, leads to the product getting better year on year, and these guys as well getting, you know, it can only be a good thing. And yes, as fans, we're going to have to accept that there's going to be calls missed, and as people are learning on the job.
Simon?
Yeah, again, you know, because we're all aware of what's going to happen, you know, they have stood up and they've said, right, well, it is time to basically implement that system. So I think we just have to be a bit more understanding. Don't get me wrong. You know, there's going to be decisions there where you're just wanting to, you know, grab the microphone and give the referee a roid. And that will happen. I have absolutely no doubt that I'll still do that. But, you know, it's the way forward. It's all good and well that Tom Darnell and, you know, I was going to say Mike Hicks, but we'll pick some, you know, Pavel Halas or whoever it may be. I think the Elite League need to take into consideration who's refereeing what games. You know, with regards to, if there's a bit of bad taste from a game, or, you know, for argument's sake, if we play the Nottingham Panthers tomorrow night and then all of a sudden we're playing the Nottingham Panthers again on Sunday, and there's, you know, 160 minutes of penalties tomorrow night, and all this, you know, there's a bad taste after the game. You think they need to look at that and go, right, well, we need a strong referee on that occasion, instead of just going, well, let's put Stefan Hogarth in there, because we all know that, you know, Hoagie's vulnerable for handing out stupid penalties at stupid times, which then gets the backs up of players and doesn't give them. Like, it sounds like I'm giving the referees a bad time.
I'm going to make you the official spokesperson for refereeing on A View from the Bridge.
No problem whatsoever. You know, do you know what?
Sorry to cut across you there, says that's exactly what Paddy's talking about. No, Stefan Hogarth has been around for a number of years now, but he's still a young guy learning his trade. I think we said this on the podcast a number of weeks ago. And yes, because it is the elite product, it's the elite league, it's the best hockey product in the UK, the refereeing should be there to match, but it isn't yet. Hoagie and all these young guys that are going to come into the league need to be given time and space to learn their trade.
Well, I mean, you're just talking about, you know, I was given abuse of the referees. I was standing talking to Shane Johnson outside the referees room the other night, just because we're doing that interview for Friendship 4, and out comes Daltz and Dean Smith, and Daltz turns around and says, you're going to give me a hard time tonight. And I went, how long do I finish this interview? Because I will, if you want, there's no problem. But I actually thought they did all right the other night, and I did say that to him. I thought you did okay. But then I forgot about the incident with regards to the elbowing from Martin on Connolly's head, and otherwise Dean Smith would have got it. Double barrels.
Also in this statement, we've got the fact that Dops is being sustained with regards to the PSC and Lyle Sites, and also the ramping up of the automatic reviews, Davey.
Yeah, look, Super Dops, it's a good thing. We've talked about it now since it came in after the Gooley and Fretter incident, and it can only be a good thing going forward that they're putting player safety at the top of the list. You know, we asked for that to happen for many, many months, if not years, from Dobbs came along. We've been banging on about, you know, it has to be about players being able to go back to work the next day. and there's too many players. Young guys had to retire. Goulakos has now missed how many weeks this season? Rayner's missed how many weeks this season? You know, it's unacceptable. It's okay in a high speed, high impact sport. People will get injuries. That's fine. That's all well and good. There's too many people taking headshots through naughty plays, and it's unacceptable that they can't ply their trade the next day or, you know, go back to work. They're sitting at home. They're sitting in dark rooms. They're doing concussion tests. It's unacceptable. So Dobbs' remit has gone up again. We've got world-leading experts making decisions on behalf of this league. It can only improve this league. It can only improve player safety. And if it improves player safety overall, it improves the product.
My question on it, just reading from it, obviously, I'm not here to pick holes. I'm going to pick holes. The last bit that got me is the fact that the Department of Player Safety will now automatically review all 5-minute major penalties. So a 5 for failing goes to a review, strangely. Okay. And any body contact penalties which result in an injury. Who's determining the injury? I'll give you
good question.
I'll give you a hypothetical here. As in, say, let's look at Vandermeer Harding. Now, say that hit goes down and they put in there's a body contact penalty there that's going for review. Adam Harding is injured, right? Goes to review. Tuesday we hear it's going to review. Wednesday we hear that Vandermeer is getting a 2-game suspension. But on Saturday, Harding plays. No sign of injury. Does not miss anything due to injury. But he plays on Saturday. Too late. The 2-game suspension's already been given to Vandermeer based on the fact that it was reported that there was a body contact penalty which resulted in an injury. How do you police that?
Independent medical assessment, I suppose. Which isn't going to happen either.
No, it's not.
It's going to be very difficult. Actually, it's going to be impossible. You know, there's nobody's going to take responsibility to overlook, you know, somebody getting hurt one week and then all of a sudden, you know, they appear. Even, you know what, Paddy, it could be the next night. You know, if you get a game on a Tuesday and there's a, you know, well, actually it doesn't happen because over Christmas and stuff like that, you could technically have a game on the Sunday and you're playing them again on the Wednesday night, same team, and that team could have that player suspended automatically and the other one's back on a Wednesday night.
I just find it a very strange comment to make, basically resulting in an injury. Does it mean that he's missed the rest of the game? Is that the injury? Does it mean that he misses one game after that? Is the suspension determinant of the fact that the player that was involved is also missing a game? I don't see how they can police it. I think it's a good thing. I think that everything that's coming from this statement is a whole positive. The 4-man system, the fact that we're sustaining the DOPS as it is, and the fact that we're automatically reviewing more rather than having the citations that we've had for the last few weeks. The one last point on it before I move on, Sam, is the fact that it's interesting the fact that the Elite League board are going to meet with Joy Johnson, the referee in chief and director of officiating education program for IH UK, to discuss the plans and hopefully lead to something a little bit more development.
This week we had the interview last year with Rich Graveson. And it's one of those things that Rich had talked about. You know, the Ice Hockey UK want to be speaking with the Elite League and trying to get them to move forward together. And at that stage, the Elite League didn't particularly want to know anything about it. So it's a good thing because, you know, we're bringing everybody together around the one table. And, you know, Joy is a very, very important person within the Elite League. Within the Ice Hockey UK. And the officials are, again, ranting about what Davey says. Without the officials, there's no game. So I think it's a good thing, but it'll be interesting to see what comes off it. And it'll be interesting to see what you talked about there, to see who's the first person who's going to be up for potential review, and if that person, next person, actually ends up playing the next game. I'm looking forward to seeing who that first one's going to be.
Davey, it seems that the Colton Fretter incident has had a real effect on the Elite League.
Yeah, and, you know, the Fretter incident was one of those, and I read more and more on Twitter and Sheffield Steelers fans, and I think that video that they put out last week was crass in the absolute, you know, you've Fitzgerald saying he condones 100% what Colton Fretter did, and it's indefensible. He has put a guy out of work for How many weeks is that now?
Three weeks.
3 weeks. So he's missed, what, six games now?
Or yep.
Four or five, six games. It's unacceptable.
Six.
And to me, that's bringing the sport into disrepute. I think if the Belfast Giants had done it around Adam Harding, do you imagine somebody going into the Belfast Giants locker room and doing a video and saying, here, I know Harding's out hurt here, but, you know, Vandy's suspended. Let's do a video saying how
they support. Just looking at it simply wouldn't happen at any other team in the elite league. It wouldn't happen.
And just, it was crass. It annoyed me at the time. I was going to put it out in AVFTB, and then I thought, you know what, I'm not going to give him any more oxygen. The good things have came out of it. Unfortunately, Gooley getting injured, Spiro being injured and being out is a bad thing that's came out of it. You know, ultimately, Fretter's going to be back in the game before Gulakos, which it just isn't right.
Yeah. And we have people casting dispersions on the legitimacy of an injury.
Look, let's not call us persons, and I'm talking about giving people oxygen. David Sims is bang out of order, absolutely bang out of order, and he owes Spiro Gulakos and the Belfast Giants a public apology because he put it out there in the public that Spiro isn't injured.
Yeah,
he's now missed 3 or 4 weeks off work. Belfast Giants are having to pay that for that. Belfast Giants fans are having to put their hands in their pockets to buy tickets to support a club to pay a player that isn't paying. It's unacceptable, and for David Sims to come out and say that, it's just a mouthpiece.
Yeah, standard. Right, let's move on. One of the other big things in the last couple of days is the Challenge Cup quarter-final qualifying teams. We have had the announcement, and we have had the games played. I think there's one more game to be played between the Panthers and the Storm. Don't quote me on that. But on that, we still have all teams that have qualified for the next round of the Challenge Cup. They are the Belfast Giants, the Sheffield Steelers, Nottingham Panthers, the Fife Flyers, the Dundee Stars, the MK Lightning, Cardiff Devils and Guildford Flames. Therefore, eliminated. Four teams eliminated after those group stages. That's the Clan, the Storm, the Blaze and the Capitals. The Blaze, I think, have now missed out for 3 years in a row. I think the last 2 years, Manchester Storm got through. But, of course, Storm out this year. And Clan, who wanted to have more games against the big boys, faced the big boys and have been knocked out of the Challenge Cup. What was announced today is the fact that the Elite League are going to adopt a pick-your-opponent format for the Challenge Cup quarterfinals. The three group winners will be seeded 1-3, and they are the... Oh, I have to look this up here.
You'll not have to look it up. If there's something new that gives somebody an advantage where they pick their opponent, you can be sure the number one seed and first pick will be...
Sheffield Steelers.
Yes.
Oh, he's got it.
Yes, the number one seed is the Sheffield Steelers. They'll be able to pick. They've secured first seed, and they'll be able to pick from the Cardiff Devils, the Dundee Stars, the Fife Flyers, the Guildford Flames, and the Nottingham Panthers. The second seed are the MK Lightning, and the third seed are ourselves, who will be the third pick of whoever's left. Once those three picks have been made, then, of course, that will leave two teams who will face each other. This first seed will then, there's a whole convoluted thing. The first seed's pick will be the first quarterfinal, QF1. The second seed pick is QF2. The third seed pick is QF3. And the fourth highest, that last game, is QF4. With QF1 playing the winner of QF1 facing QF4 in the semi-final, and the winner of QF2 facing QF3 in the semi-final. Now, the reason I went through that, and obviously maybe you're a little bit lost, is that how do we think, and we asked people on Twitter as to who we think the Belfast Giants will face in the next round. Overall, I think most people picked the Fife Flyers, and I think that's correct. I'm trying to gauge on who's going to pick who. I think the Sheffield Steelers will pick the Dundee Stars, so that's the first pick. I think the MK Lightning will pick the Guildford Flames, so that's the second pick gone. Leaving ourselves, which will leave the Flyers, the Devils, and the Nottingham Panthers. Well, we're not going to pick the Devils, and we're not going to pick the Nottingham Panthers. Therefore, we're going to pick the Fife Flyers, leaving the Devils to face the Panthers in QF4, which means the Sheffield Steelers, should they beat the Dundee Stars, will face off in the semi-final against either the Panthers or the Devils. Your thoughts on this process, Simon?
Harry, you lost me when you started talking about it.
I think it's a thing that's come a lot for... I may be wrong on this, but I do remember something like this happening in rugby league.
I didn't know anything about it. It was at a manic day in work today, so just listening, I was trying to pick it up on what you were saying. So So basically, you're thinking we're going to play the Flyers, and the majority of the Giants fans thinking we're going to play the Flyers due to Sheffield getting first choice, Milton Keynes getting second, and us being left with not picking Cardiff and Nottingham, yes?
Yes. Yeah, because Sheffield, neither Sheffield nor Milton Keynes are going to pick Cardiff or Nottingham to face in the quarterfinal. So they're going to play each other because it's going to be like standing picking your football team and there's only two players left. usually one of them's me. So I'm assuming the Steelers will pick either the Flyers or the Stars. I think it's going to be the Stars. And I'm pretty sure the Lightning will pick the Flames because they've had their number so far this season. That leaves us with the Flyers and the Devils of the Panthers. So I think we'll play the Flyers in the next round. As now, most people on the poll.
Is this home and away, is it?
This is home and away.
Right, okay. Do you know what? I'm off for chance something new. That's obviously what's been decided at the IHL board. So, you know, we'll give it a shout. I mean, I don't think...
Any permutations in there, Paddy, that you can't play a team that was in your own group? So, like, we played the Flyers. Well,
No. It's
once, kind of twice in the group stages, but... Yeah.
Tell me, is the... Okay, against the five Flyers, that's fair. I'm still trying to get my head around it. But against the five Flyers, you know what? That's fair enough. It's not a bad draw. But if you had your choice, who would you pick?
Edinburgh.
No, you can't pick Edinburgh.
You can't play Edinburgh.
No, that's not what you said.
No, but I'm talking about the eight. I meant about the eight. There's always one smart, isn't there? I'm talking about the teams that are left in it. So out of the five teams you could pick, if you were first choice, who would you pick?
Five Flyers.
I would think I would pick five.
So would I, David. Or sorry, Paddy. So would I. I would have picked the five Flyers over Dundee or Guildford.
So then, you think that the Sheffield Steelers would pick the five Flyers?
No, I didn't say that.
You have to go through the process.
Steelers might, I don't know the Sheffield Steelers' record against the five Flyers or Dundee or Guildford. I don't particularly care, but you know, I do agree with what you're saying. I think they'll pick Dundee. I don't think they'll go for Guildford. But then again, it depends on when they're playing them. If they're going to play them on a Saturday night, and Guildford have already got a game on a Friday night, you just never know. They'll take all these stupid things in the equation. So out of the teams, if I had my choice on who to pick, I would have picked the five Flyers.
I think it's going to work. I actually quite like it. I quite like the process of it. I quite like the it's a bit innovative. It's a bit different.
It was Tony Smith come up with the idea.
But yeah, I do think that I am quite amused, Davey, that you pointed out that it does give Sheffield Steelers the advantage.
Well, I'm not all that surprised.
But it does mean that probably in the obviously the, with us being the third seed, it means that we know we're going to face either the Milton Keynes Lightning or probably the Guildford Flames should we make it through the quarterfinal into the semi-final. Anything else on the process, gentlemen?
No, not really.
Do anybody really care about the Challenge Cup? Anyway.
Yes, actually.
If we're in the final, yes, I'll care about it.
The final is, of course, this year, once again, back at Ice Arena Wales on, what day was it, the 4th of March. Anything else from around the league? A couple more things, then we'll wrap it up. The Sheffield Steelers have a weekend off from the Elite League. They head off to Denmark to take part in the Continental Cup, where they'll face Minsk, Rungsted, and Riga. I'll not ask you, Davey, because you don't care. Steelers obviously will be looking at the Nottingham Bears and thinking to themselves, well, they won this competition. Anything short of winning it ourselves would be an absolute disaster.
Couldn't think of anything worse, Paddy.
Couldn't think of anything worse than what? The Continental Cup? Or them winning it?
Winning.
Okay. David?
Don't care.
Oh dear! Right, lads, let's keep. Garrett Ladd has been released by Coventry.
I was thinking about hockey earlier on.
Let me get another glass of wine.
You know, am I a hockey fan or am I a Belfast Giants fan? And you know, as far as it goes at the minute in my life, I'm a Giants fan. I don't care one jot. I say I don't care. I do care. I hope they get absolutely destroyed in all three games. Now I don't think they will, but I hope they do. Why would they want another team to have success? To rub our noses in it? To hold something over us? To say, oh, do you remember when we won in Europe and yous didn't? I don't like them. I don't like their fans. I don't like anything about them. I think Giants still a die. And that's the way it goes.
And having made says the officiating spokesman, I'm going to make Davey the spokesman for fan relations. Garrett Ladd's been released by Coventry. A statement from Danny Stewart read, Garrett has informed us of his desire to return to North America, and as a club we thank him for his efforts, and whilst he's been with us and we wish him nothing but the best for the future. One thing, listen, the Coventry Blaze have their own problems at the minute. The one thing I got from this is the fact that once again in the Elite League, Davey, we see that contracts don't really mean that much.
I have a panic. It's got to work both ways. Danny Stewart came out with a very emotional, you know, post-match interview a couple of weeks ago there where he didn't call players out by names, but he certainly said, you know, the passengers in here and guys are going to get their 2 weeks' notice, and there's guys I'll be skating their last games for a club. I can't paraphrase what he said, but he was quite agitated. He was annoyed. He was emotional. They'd just been beat. And if coach is going to come out there and this kid's got another opportunity in North America, he's going to say, you know what, this guy can sack me in 2 weeks, I'm out of here. So it's got to work. The loyalty is a funny thing. It has to work both ways.
Seven.
Yeah, I agree. Because of the 2 week release clause, and I'm pretty sure most of the contracts in the Elite League, there's no, you know, if you get a chance to go to a better team, I would say the majority of players in this league would probably go. It's one of those things. The kids, or what, is he a kid or is he an old fella? I have no idea. I don't even remember him standing out against us, and the night they beat us we were brutal. Coventry Blaze, they can do what they want, so
we're really doing well, just giving us sort of wide breadth of knowledge and the league. Brilliant. Right, let's wrap that up there around the league. Let's batter on. We've got a game on Wednesday night against the Nottingham Panthers. They come in to face the Belfast Giants at the SSE Arena. Quick note on that. We don't have an interview with regards to the Panthers, but Davey, I know you don't like previewing games, but I'm going to make you. The game on Wednesday night, the Panthers obviously riding a bit of a high, and the Giants really need to get back on the horse.
Yeah, we really do. There'll be a lot of frustration within the locker room just about how the season has gone as a whole, how, you know, we've come through that six game streak, how we've lost the likes of Stephen Murphy and we've brought in Chris Trail, and the different dynamics we didn't discuss earlier on there. You know, obviously we had a full quota of imports there, bar Jim Van Der Meer even being suspended, and we had the gas Bissonnette at the weekend. You know, what will Kiefer go with Whistle and Nets? Will he go with Trill and Nets, and all the different things that brings to the table? And, you know, it's one of them, Paddy. We have to be more physical. You know, Jim Van Der Meer said it himself. You know, he's old school. He wants to play with speed. He wants to play with physicality. And, you know, as Stevie Thompson and Poppy, they're helping with the stats, have done some brilliant stuff on the correlation between hitting and goals. When we play physical, goals for go up, goals against go down. I'm sure I've said this in the podcast before this season. We have to play physical. The two games, certainly the first game that we played in Nottingham was a standoff affair by both sides. I'm not saying that was the reason we lost, because actually we played very well on the night, very European style of hockey. You know, there wasn't much North American rock 'em sock 'em hit 'em, but when we do that, we tend to do better. So, you know, the more hits, the more goals. And as Vandy said there, you know, the casual person likes goals, fights and hits, and that's Belfast Giants hockey. That's our brand, the blue collar. That's our identity, always has been, hope it always will be. We're fast and we're skilled, but we also have always had that physical edge. This team built with a physical edge, and we play with it, we do better. Hopefully we can come out and put body on body against the Panthers, get pucks on net, get in front of that goalie, don't let him see it. All the cliches, Paddy, that I hate about this part of the show, you know, but they're it's the basic hockey 101 that you have to do. You've got to get them moving left or right, and you've got to get somebody in front of them. Well, it would depend on which of their half dozen goalies they play.
And the man behind the mic, Mr. Simon Kitchen, you're going to be calling this game tomorrow night. What are you expecting?
I'm expecting a tough game, Paddy. You know, the Panthers beat us twice this season already, and, you know, they've got a really good squad this year. It pains me to say it, but You know, some of the, I like the guy Shala. I think that Breezeball is a good player. They've got Gagnon and I'm hoping
I'm going to be doing that every time you say it now tomorrow night.
I don't know, but that's it gives you something to do, son. That's all right. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good game. You know, I think we've got a point to prove after the weekend. That, you know, that the weekend was a blip and two games that we'll want to put behind us and get the I think it's important to get a really quick goal. You know, if we can get on the scoreboard early and come out flying out of the traps tomorrow night, I think it's vitally important.
It's two home games in a row, and the last two home games for a while. On Sunday night, the Belfast Giants take on the Manchester Storm. I called up Ryan Finnerty for an interview. He answered the phone, said, "Sorry, mate, I've got family round, can't do an interview." Hung up the phone, so I called up somebody else. A rare Sunday game this week. The Belfast Giants take on the Manchester Storm. And what is the last home game for well over a month? The next time the Giants will take to the ice after that game will be the 29th of December against the Edinburgh Capitals. So with that and a hell of a road streak ahead of us, it's one of the most important games this part of the season. Joining me to talk about the Manchester Storm is one of the voices from the Manchester Storm. Storm TV webcast, Mr. Stephen Packer. How are you, mate?
Yeah, hi Patrick, how you doing?
Not too bad, buddy. You guys got off to a flyer, absolute flyer, top of the league, and holding the position there. The last couple of weeks, maybe not as good as they've been leading up to that. Your take on the Storm thus far this season?
Yeah, as you say, we got off to a really good start. Obviously, the old quirky Elite League fixtures helped us a bit. We played a few more games than everybody else. They're starting to catch up a bit now. But still sitting on the top after Sunday's overtime defeat to the Milton Keynes Lightning, managing to pick up a point, which put us back on top again. But yeah, it's last few weeks, a little bit ropey. It's just been a funny one. Hey, we've lost Chris Ogier in the last couple of weeks, and that seems to be a big miss for the team. They seem to have missed him, struggling on the special teams especially. Really come a cropper this weekend, both on the power play and on the penalty kill.
Ogier obviously going out in that game against the Belfast Giants. We'll come back to that in a second. A new regime in Sheffield. Let's not call you the Sheffield Steelers. I don't think you'll like
no,
that.
No, please don't, Patrick.
A new regime in Manchester. You know, we spoke earlier in the season to Mike Moran, who of course had his jersey retired, his number retired this week. But the new regime with Ryan Finnerty and a new ownership, how are they settling in? Obviously, with that flying start, things seem to be quite rosy.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. In the last 3 years, everything's been quite up in the air for the Manchester Storm. But there's no denying that the new ownership has come some more professionalism and a better structure to the club. I mean, if you could have said to us last year that we would have a designated bench coach, not a player coach, I think you'd have snapped his hand off. The fact that he's also part of the ownership is a little bit quirky, no doubt. And losing the likes of Neil Russell has been quite a big thing. But I think on the whole, we've been making steps forward, especially on the ice this season. On the ice, no doubt about it. Neil Russell and Omar Pashy put a lot of bricks in place off the ice, but on the ice, we have definitely moved forward. The product on the ice is much higher than what we've seen in the last 2 years. That's for sure. No doubt about it.
Is there a real... I remember when... You call him Neil Russell, I'll call him Coach. I remember when Coach was talking about the certain milestones looking for the Storm and the way that they wanted to proceed. And one thing that he held in quite high regard over the last two seasons is the fact that the Storm were able to make the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup. Now, with the fact that you're doing so well in the league, has the failure to make the quarterfinal of the Challenge Cup just been cast aside as an OL?
I think it might have done with some of the fan base, including myself as well. I might have not had the same view if we didn't have the start we did to the season. But I think within the club and from the likes of Coach Finnerty, they just want to win everything that they can, every game they can, every competition that they can. So by no means was it taken lightly. We went to Sheffield on Saturday and had every intention of taking the victory. It just didn't come as we wanted it to.
And how is life going for you in the Patton Conference? Obviously, you had the game against the Milton Keynes Lightning this week that you commentated on and went to overtime with a 5-4 win for the Lightning. But the Patton Conference itself seems to be taking scalps left, right and centre.
Yeah, it's really tight. It's really tight. There's no, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? The Cube Centre's no easy night sort of thing, but especially with the two English conferences anyway. We've been nip and tuck with the MK Lightning. That's the first game that's been won by either team on the road. I mean, it was an overtime victory. So all three teams are still within a chance. And to be honest, the MK Lightning, they've been quite sneaky. They've just sat there and they've been plugging away. And if they win their game in hand, I think they've got two games in hand on us in the conference, there'll be a couple of points clear. And we've seen the Guildford Flames, they've taken points off us. We've dropped a couple of games to them. So that's the frustrating thing about with Storm's recent form anyway. We just haven't been able to kill off those teams. We've been in commanding positions where we've had one or two goal leads and then we've thrown it away, whether giving a conference rival a point, a valuable point, or letting them take 2 points. There's a long way to go yet. Once again, the fixtures are slightly, a little bit skewy. We've seen a lot of the MK Lightning, not so much of Coventry Blaze. So it's still all up for grabs. And as you say, all four teams in that conference, they can beat anybody on their night.
We mentioned his name earlier on, Mike Moran, just at the weekend there, had his number 15 jersey retired by the Manchester Storm. A great servant to the club of the original Storm, now back on the bench. How well-deserved was that?
Oh, you just said it there. A good servant to the original Storm and the current Storm. And not just the Storm. Let's not forget his time at Manchester Phoenix as well. And the Sheffield Steelers. We try not to hold that against him. But no, you're right, Patrick, and Hull as well. He's a servant to UK hockey. He's a UK resident now. He came over two decades ago. He's married. He's got a family. He's got a business set up here now. So me personally, I had absolutely no issues at all with hanging his jersey up in the rafters. Well deserved.
And this weekend to come, you've got the Edinburgh Capitals on Saturday, if I'm right, and then over to Belfast on Sunday for the Belfast Giants. The Capitals have their own problems, that's by the by. But the Giants, you've already beaten the Giants, to my chagrin, just a couple of weeks, or about a month or so ago. We have our own problems. What are you expecting from the Manchester Storm coming into the SSE Arena on Sunday?
I think it's a real dangerous game for the Storm. We're at a real pass at the moment where the season could go one or two ways. It's funny to be saying that when we're sat on the top of the league, but they're always a good game against the Giants. And we've had a pretty decent record against you guys the last couple of seasons. I mean, we've had a few results, especially over in your barn, which I'm sure you guys haven't forgotten about. But I think it could be, you know, a Storm like this season. They're pretty aggressive on the ice, and so are the Belfast Giants. And you guys are going to be a wounded animal on Sunday. So I'm worried, but I definitely think that we can get a result.
And a couple of seasons for yourself behind the mic. How are you enjoying doing the commentary?
Yeah, it's, well, you know yourself, Patrick. It's good fun, but it can be quite draining. But you tend to notice so much more, I think, when you're calling out stuff, just the small parts of the game. And sometimes you notice stuff that isn't actually even there as well, which is a little embarrassing sometimes, but thoroughly enjoying it.
Well, fantastic. The game this Sunday is at 4 p.m. at the SSE Arena against the Manchester Storm. Like I said, it is the last game at the SSE until the 29th of December. The Giants going on a 10-game road trip, which is going to be a bit jarring. But, yep, get yourself down there. Mr. Stephen Packer, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Lifetime ambition achieved. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Stevie Packer. Stevie does the Hockey Night in Manchester, so check that out on YouTube and there's the Manchester Storm Twitter and all the coverage they give. I think it's part of the same sort of setup as we have ourselves on Belfast Giants TV. But yes, Hockey Night in Manchester, check that out. The Belfast Giants, as we said, Wednesday night against the Nottingham Panthers, 7:30 p.m. in Elite League and Conference action. And you can catch that either down at the rink, get yourself down there, or Belfast Giants TV. Then on Sunday, 4 p.m, the Manchester Storm at the SSE Arena in Elite League action. That is the last game for over a month. So this has got a big, big break to call on games before the 29th of December and the Edinburgh Capitals come in. Belfast Giants TV if you can't get down there.
Take 22, this is Jason Taff-Ellery. Listening to... Oh, Take 26, this is Jason Taff-Ellery. Listen to A View from the Bridge, the best podcast in the Elite League.
And we'll end the show with the fan agenda. Once again, we've got a very special fan agenda for you. We're joined by, well, a man whose CV is probably one of the strongest in the Elite League, a former Philadelphia Flyer, Chicago Blackhawk, Calgary Flames, Phoenix Coyotes, Edmonton Oilers, San Jose Sharks. He also went to Colton Flyers in Switzerland, and now he's into his third season with the Belfast Giants. Joining us after a week off, our weekend off, it's Jim Vandermeer. How are you, mate?
Not bad, thanks for having me.
on a serious note, you are coming back in after that weekend off. We spoke earlier on our show about that Dops decision, and I just want to get your take on it. We saw it when we talked about it last week that we thought it was more or less, I think the three of us came with it, more or less more of an incidental hockey incident, and we didn't foresee it getting a two-game suspension. What was your take on the incident, the suspension, and how Dops has gone as itself?
Well, I think, like you said, it was one of those hockey plays that just kind of happens, and it's, you know, obviously there was no intent to hit him in the head or anything like that, but, you know, sometimes the speed of the game, guys get hit a little harder than you would like sometimes. As far as Dops, you know, the direction that it's going now, I think it's where it needs to be. You know, you have somebody independent reviewing it, somebody that's a lot more hockey knowledgeable than what was in there, what was in place before. It's impartial. So, you know, with a new guy coming in and making some decisions, he's kind of setting a standard. So, you know, I just got to take it for what it is, and you know, suspension's over, so I can get back to work.
Jim, there's one of the questions come in here from Big Joel Neal. As much as Belfast is the greatest club in the world, to Joel, you've worked and reached the highest level in your sport, and obviously deservedly so. What is your motivation for pulling on the teal jersey? Is it hard to keep the fire going, seeing you've already proved yourself?
Well, I think, no, not for me, no. And I would say that for most professional athletes, you know, you have that competitiveness within you and the desire to win. And, you know, as far as sports goes, I'm getting kind of up there in age. I'm an old man on the team and within the league. So for me, it's just, you know, I go out there every day and I really enjoy playing the game. So I'm just out there, you know, enjoying it, having fun. Obviously, I'm competitive, so I'm gonna work my tail off and give it all I got. You know, I want to see my kids have the chance to see me play. You know, they're 3 and 4 years old, so they come to a handful of games. You know, I don't have a lot of gas left in the tank, so it'll be this year and probably next year, and that'll be it for me. So. I'm just going to go out and enjoy it and have as much fun as possible.
Vandy, it's Davey here. good to hear you're coming back at Belfast next year, hopefully. And, you know, we look at yourself, you've been suspended there for, you know, there's been an awful lot of incidents this season where guys are getting hit in the head, and we only have to look at our own team at the minute. You know, Rainer's out, Gooley's out, and, you know, we've had other guys out with sort of concussions this season. Is the game changing? Or are players being more careless, or is it just are these just accidental collisions?
Well, I think in my opinion, I think it's kind of a pattern of how once they've implemented this headshot rule and young guys coming up and playing, they're not, I think some guys are careless. And some guys are putting themselves in vulnerable positions and thinking that guys are going to lay up on them just because they're supposed to. You know, I think there's still enough older players playing the game you know, the play, finish every hit, hit hard and all that stuff. And other guys are just playing. So I think some of the young guys coming up aren't expecting guys to finish or finish high and hard. And, you know, some guys are just dirty players. So I think it's a combination of everything. I think as time goes on, I think, you know, more and more players will kind of ease up. But that's just my, who knows? We'll see how that goes, I guess.
And just coming back on that, you know, we had an incident the weekend. Should it be down to a club? I suppose this is where I was going with the question. Should it be down to the club to have to go to Department of Player Safety? We have an incident there the other night where Collins has taken a late hit to the head, in my opinion, from Joey Martin. Now, we've seen angles on it that maybe weren't there available on the night, so other people maybe haven't seen them. But, you know, you talk about a vulnerable position. He's taken a shot. Martin's had to travel a decent distance to make that hit after, you know, and it's one of those hits that doesn't really need me. Is that something that players need to take more responsibility? The onus there is on Joey Martin really not to hit Collins in the head.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's you know, and that's the mandate that they're trying to put down. Is it's the players that are hitting the vulnerable players. They're not, you know, they need to, you know, be smarter and take responsibility for not hitting guys. As far as, you know, is the onus on the club to send it in or look at it? I think, you know, in that particular instance, the ref was, you know, no more than 5 feet away from the play. So, probably should have been a call on that, but, you know, he might have been looking the other way or something. I don't know.
What's your take on today's announcement, the fact that the four-man system is going to be coming back in and you have the likes of the DOP system is going to be sustained?
Well, I think it's good that DOPS is going to be run by who it is now. I think that's a good decision. It seems like it's going to take some time for the players to smarten up, I guess. But you know, the four ref system, I think that's great. You know, it takes away a lot of the chippy stuff behind the play, and you know, one ref can focus in on watching right where the puck's at, and the other guy can watch what's going on everywhere else. So I think it'll take away some of the chippier stuff, and you know, I think the rules will be called a little more tightly, more consistently. So I think it'll be a good thing.
We've got a question here from Adam McKenzie, who said, "What would your advice be to someone considering playing in the Elite League? We get the sense that it's got an odd reputation amongst the wider hockey world, and he'd love to know your thoughts on that."
Yeah, I think that's, even when I first came over here, some people that I knew, they were like, "What the hell are you doing going over there?" So it does have a little bit of a bad reputation, I think. But I know there's a lot of people working hard to get rid of that that image that the teams or the leagues had for a number of years. You know, it's a lot better league than a lot of people think, you know, skill wise. But I think it comes down to, you know, I think DOPS is a big part of it, because there's some incidents that happen, like what happened with Gouley and Fredder there. It kind of turned into a sideshow, and I think if it would have been handled appropriately to begin with, it would have been a lot better.
Jim,
so go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, anybody that was considering it, you know, I think do your homework and just, you know, talk to players that are in the league, talk to guys that have played in the league, and you know, I'm sure most guys will give you their honest opinion and go from there.
This season, Jim, you're doing something different. You're playing, you've been behind the bench, which I want to get your view on in a minute, but how are you, you're obviously back at school, so how are you settling in, doing your schoolwork and playing hockey again?
It's good. It's just trying to get time management down, trying to balance everything, but it's going good. It's been 20 years since I was in a classroom, so it's been a long time, and you know, I'm really enjoying it. I think the classes are it's exactly what I'm looking for. You know, I'm looking for my next career. I'm gonna be working for the next 20 years after this is done. So you know, I'm really enjoying that, balancing the home life with two kids, and my wife's doing school as well, and I was coaching a bit last year, so that's no different this year. So it's a busy year, but definitely enjoying it.
And the second part of that question, you're talking about, you know, you want to do something for, you know, 20 years after you finish playing hockey. do you think it's going to be, or well, are you interested in staying in hockey, or do you think you're going to go outside of it? You've maybe had enough?
I think it just depends on the opportunities that come up in the next little while. I think I know lots of guys, if you get out of the game, it's tough to get back in. You know, everybody wants, guys that are up to date on what's going on within the hockey world. So if I'm going to stick within hockey, it's going to be right away. And if I, kind of dip my toe into something else or move on to something else, I think that'll probably be it for hockey. So I think just time will tell. I think see what happens the next couple of years here and go from there. I think I'm open to all options. Definitely to stay within it, but if a real good opportunity comes along, then it's going to be a family decision on that.
Jim, I have another question in here on Twitter from a guy called Tommy Brown, and it's about pregame rituals or superstition. You know, hockey guys generally very superstitious bunch. What about yourself? Have you got anything that you must do before a game?
No, not really. I think maybe my superstition is being not superstitious, I guess. Not doing something particular, if that makes any type of sense. Like, I always get dressed the same way. Maybe that's it. But I think that's, most people put the same shoe on first every day or do whatever. So it's just more of a habit than anything. But no, I don't have to, like, I don't know what guys do. No, I don't have anything. So.
We've a lot of questions come in regarding the physicality and that edge to your game. And one of them, actually more in a generic sense, is regards to the fighting in hockey. And we've got one from a account called DEL Hockey Fights, obviously a German account, and asked, what are your thoughts of fights in hockey and currently the NHL, the fact that they seem to be, that aspect seems to be dying out?
I've always thought that it's had a place. It tends to hold guys accountable, whereas refs and, supplementary discipline can't. If fighting is continued to allow to happen and a guy on their team is going to take a run at one of my guys, whether he's in a vulnerable position or not, if he knows he's going to get the crap beat out of him for doing it, he's going to think twice before doing it. I was always a guy that, had my teammates back and ended up fighting a bunch of guys I probably shouldn't have been. But, that's what good teammates do. And, I think, in the NHL level and stuff, they're trying to wean it out. And, I'm on the fence of, the casual hockey fan, what do they like? They like goals, fights, and hits, and they're taking away fights and hits. So I don't know how excited the fans are going to be to watch the game, but it's a great skilled game, and I think the skill level of players is getting so high now that's going to help bridge that gap between the fans that love the fights and the hits and the real pure hockey fans that just love the sport.
That's interesting, because do you think that maybe the approach that we have now with the Giants, and obviously with Adam Keefe being the coach, that we have a team now that are throwing more hits, have more of a physical edge, and maybe are a little bit more entertaining?
Yeah, I think that's the way, Adam obviously feels the way the game should be played. That's the way I feel the game should be played. And, as long as we, make those hits and play physical within the rules, definitely gives us an edge. We get into trouble when we start taking penalties and getting a little outside that what we're supposed to be doing. But I think that's the way hockey should be played, fast and hard and skilled.
Jim, you played for some fantastic coaches throughout your career, and obviously you've got a ex-teammate and head coach now in Adam Keefe. How do you think he's settling into his role?
I think he's doing great. I think the first little bit, when you come in every single day and you got to talk to guys, and I think he sometimes thought he had to say stuff just to say it. But I think he's got a great system in place. The guys are coming around and learning it. And you know, he's got a good hockey head on his shoulders, so I think he's gonna do great.
We have one in from Dylan Carey, asking if how's that book coming for of all your hockey stories for him.
I'm working on it. No, that's, you know, if I was smart, I would have been kept a diary the whole way through, because it was you know, there's some beauty stories along the way. So, yeah, would have been a good idea to keep a diary along the way. There's so many really good funny things that you forget along the way, and you run into a guy you hadn't seen in a couple of years, and hey, you remember the time this happened? You go, oh, I totally forgot about that, but yeah, that was good. So.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, again, you're talking about playing for great coaches. You've obviously, you touched on, remember the night at the Colin Shields testimonial quiz when Team Canada beat Team UK / Colin.
Absolutely crushed them. Absolutely.
Yeah. You were talking about, there was a question came into it, and you said, oh, I played with him, as in Joe Thornton. You played with some amazing players throughout your career. In your opinion, who's been the best?
Oh, there's, you know, if I say one, somebody's gonna give me a call and
we're just a local podcast.
But what? Listen to it around the world. Let's do it around the world.
Somebody will end up tweeting about it, and they'll get a hold of it. But there's some great guys. You know, my first D partner was Eric Desjardins in Philly. Like he was unbelievable. You know, Jeremy Roenick, Tony Monte, those guys, like that was the older crew back, well, date myself, 15 years ago probably. You know, in Chicago, I had Seabrook and Keith, and obviously Taves and Kane, those guys are superstars. Calgary, Ginla was there. Some great goalies, obviously San Jose with Thornton and Marlowe and those guys, so that's... It's hard to pick one, or even a handful. There are so many. You know, I was very fortunate to play with some unbelievable players, and just very fortunate to have the chance. You know, I don't want to throw one out, but definitely a lot of experience and some knowledge passed along for sure.
It does sound like a real chore.
Yeah.
Have to play with all those guys. Unbelievable. Really important.
Yeah.
Jim, I know we're kind of jumping all over the place subject-wise here, but Dylan Cackey obviously sent a question in there, and just how important is it that probably through your whole career, but especially now that you've came to Belfast, that you can be involved in, I'm not going to call them projects, but little getting involved in people's lives like Blake and Nicole and Ethan and Dylan, all these kids that come along and get so much out of hockey that, you know, you and Stephanie have obviously been really involved in with little Blake there. Does that take the pressure? Does it take the pressure off the game just to be able to step away from the game and step in and really help somebody else's life?
No, that's been something that I've always wanted to do and have done throughout my whole career. You know, almost everywhere that I've been, I've always been involved in every community project, school stuff. So it's no different when I came here. I've done that my whole career. We did a blanket drive in Phoenix, and I'm going to leave a whole bunch of stuff out. But anyways, everywhere that Steph and I have been, and even before Steph, I'd been involved in a lot of community stuff. So it's no different here, and it is great to get to see some of these kids that, you know, have some issues going on with them, and, you know, for them to you know, spend some time and hang out with somebody they look up to, and that it just, you know, it makes them feel good. It makes me feel good. It's, you know, it distracts them. It distracts me from the game. And it's just good all around.
Yeah, one more thing there. You were talking about your schooling. And I know that you've got a project on at the minute that you're doing with a couple of other guys. Do you want to tell us a bit about that and give yourself a bit of promotion with it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're actually we're selling advent calendars. We're doing it for our new venture project with Ulster University. So we're selling advent calendars at the SSE. We're going to find out in maybe a day or two if they're going to be at the pop-up shop if they get that with Kukri. So it's for our university project, and we're made some advent calendars. They got the team picture on the front, and they got some players on the inside, and you also get some chocolate. So, and we're selling them for £10. Yeah, so everybody come down and get them.
Absolutely.
I'll take a couple off you at the weekend.
Perfect.
We're going to let you go, Jim. Thank you very much for your time. We got one more question to ask, and it comes in from a Matt Toe. And he says, hi, Jim. He says, hi, Jim. Can I get a lift in the morning?
Yeah, I think he can. Yeah, he's usually picking me up. Whenever we're out in Dundonald, he swings by and picks me up. So I'm going the other way. So
it's your turn.
What about your lift today?
And make sure we get him there. Well, he left me at the rink today. I wasn't happy about that. I walked out to the parking lot, and I'm looking around, and there's no cars there. So I had a bum ride with Rainer and Sebastian on the way home. So
at least you have the ability now to get your own back then.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll just leave him down at the SSE tomorrow morning.
Brilliant. Listen, thank you very much for your time. Thanks to everybody out there for their questions in this week's fan agenda. Really appreciate it. Jim, once again, good luck this weekend.
No, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, guys.
This is Colin Shields from the Belfast Giants, and you're listening to View from the Bridge, the best podcast in the Elite Ice Hockey League.
Thanks again to Jim. Any other business? Simon?
Yeah, I've got a couple, Paddy, regarding the Official Supporters Club. We announced it there on last night about the first away game that we're going to show at the Odyssey Cinema. The guys at Odyssey Cinema have done a great job and accommodated us. So we're playing the Cardiff Devils on November 26th. That's a Sunday, so it's Sunday week. And we have, actually, right now, we have over 100 tickets sold, which is great. Great response. You can get them online at odysseycinemas.co.uk. Only £5. We're trying to make it as much as a game night experience as we possibly can, doing a 50-50 draw. The shirt not off the player's back because it's obviously an away game, but we will have a game-worn shirt. There's going to be free pizzas. There's going to be other giveaways throughout the night itself. And if we can't stand the comedy in Cardiff, then we'll maybe do it ourselves. So it should be a good crack. And then the also announced this week is the quiz, another OSC event on December 5th, Tuesday, December 5th. There's only 5 teams left. There's going to be every single player is going to be there. All the managing teams going to be there at Laveries on the 5th of December. There's one player per team. We're going to be having trades for players throughout the night. Something a wee bit different. And again, great work by all the guys involved in the OSC.
You should definitely do the commentary while you're there. I went to a thing about it, as I digress slightly. I went to a thing too during the 2011 Rugby World Cup down in London, where this Kiwi guy, it was advertised as this Kiwi guy, did a live commentary based on they had a big screen showing the rugby match. It was a New Zealand rugby match, and a live screen showed it, and he did the commentary there and then, and the crack being thrown from the crowd. It was an absolute belter. So yeah, get the mics out and start doing the commentary there.
It could happen.
Davey.
Yes.
It's only a week until Mr. Shields' testimonial.
It is this time next week. Actually, this time next week, there's a good chance that the game will be over and we'll be, I don't know about you, Paddy, you'll maybe have headed back to the west, the pace from the west back to your mum and dad's house because you're heading back very early the next morning, I believe. But there's a chance me and Simon might be two buds deep by then. Who knows? But, you know, it's going to be Colin Shields' testimonial, of course. The dinner next Monday night, tickets still available, and obviously tickets still available for the Tuesday night. Great servant of the club. It's going to be a fantastic night. The draw, there's going to be Paddy?
A draft.
There's going to be a draft on Monday night, so all the legends, all the returning legends and all the current Belfast Giants are all going to go into a pot. Two captains are going to pick their teams, and as you say, somebody's going to be last and they're going to get a bit of stick, I'm sure, for that. But
You know, it's going to be a really exciting night. There'll be the skills competition, I assume, and there'll be lots of giveaways, and there'll be, well, I'm sure it's college age. There's probably not too many giveaways, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's something that we've been really looking forward to. View from the Bridge, obviously the title sponsor of it, we've been more than happy to get behind and help Sheds out with it. And great honour. You know, what is it? 500. He's played virtually to the game, 50%. Of every Belfast Giants game that's ever been played. He scored more goals than anybody else, more assists than everybody else, more points than everybody else, more shorthanded goals than anybody else. You know, so he's only one real stat that he hasn't. I'm not going to tell him what it is until he breaks it, but it's only one stat that he really isn't the all-time franchise leader. You know, penalty congratulations minutes. To him, and I'm really looking forward. Oh, well, yes, I doubt he'll get up there in the penalty minutes. That's two he doesn't lead in, but...
Make you have one of those questions at the next quiz, do
you? So okay, you let me know when you want the questions wrote for. But yes, it's a great honour to him. Congratulations to him. And as I say, this time next week, Paddy, you don't know whether there's maybe a chance we'll have another podcast. The podcast, maybe the three of us face to face with a beer in our hands and
absolutely,
and doing it on the fly, if you like.
I'm really looking forward to it. Next week I'm flying in on the day, I fly out the next day due to work commitments, unfortunately, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm just looking at the Colin Shields All-Stars lineup. Colin Shields, Adam Keefe, Robbie Sandrock, Steve Thornton, Mark Morrison, Mike Hoffman, Stevie Lyle, Shane Johnson, Jason Bowen, Matt Nickerson, Craig Peacock, John Gleed, Rob Stewart, Curtis Huppey, Martin Carrier, the best Carrier brother, and Daryl Lloyd. I'm not seeing
Gareth Roberts as well.
Gareth Roberts not on this list, but Gareth Roberts. I thought Jeffrey Suez was involved, is he not?
The first time I was on the Facebook page was yesterday, and scrolled right down the bottom. I've never seen anybody just almost as thrilled to pieces as Gareth Roberts in his video to be back on us. Graham Walton as well, Paddy. I don't know if you mentioned him there.
No, I'm just reading the list off the Belfast Giants website. The other name I don't see on there is Todd Kelman.
He's going to be there.
He's going to be there. He's not putting the skates on.
I'm not sure. He can never skate.
I don't think he can reach down to touch his toes anymore.
sorry, I've got the same problem.
Get his skates on.
Yes, absolutely fab. It's going to be brilliant. So get involved, get yourselves tickets to the dinner, get yourself sorted out with tickets to the testimonial, because there are a few players that deserve it more than Colin Shields for everything he's been a captain of this club. He's lifted trophies for this club. Very few players deserve it more than the all-time top points and top goal scorer, Colin Shields. And if there's nothing else, gents, I'll wrap things up.
I don't think I've got anything else, mate.
Alrighty. Well, thanks to Jim Vandermeer, Adam Keefe, Stephen Packer for everything and joining us on this week's show. Two games we said this week, both at home, Wednesday night against the Nottingham Panthers and Sunday night against the Manchester Storm. Big thanks to everybody out there for your interaction on Twitter, especially in regards to the TFA. So Jim Vandermeer at AVFTB, of course, on Twitter, soundcloud.com/AVFTB for podcasts, interviews, and all the likes. And on Facebook as well, just search for A View from the Bridge. David and Simon, I will see you next Tuesday.
Looking forward to it, guys.
That made me laugh, sorry. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Still you rise.